You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On today's episode of The Salicia Show.
When you have an abundance mindset and you fully in your being believe that there is more than enough for everyone to go around, and even more than that is no one can take anything away from you, because your own journey, your own path, what's meant for you will always come to you, and it was never meant for anyone else. So it's impossible for anyone else to take it away from you. Like, it is only for you to claim. It is only for you to step into. So it's not that if I have an abundance mindset, maybe more will come to me. It is the more of an abundant mindset I have, the more I am opening myself up to receive, because I know I'm worthy of receiving that abundance that's already there for me. Like, the universe and God or whatever you say already has it ready for you. It's just waiting for you to align yourself with it so that it has a way to give it to you.
The L to the Isha. Some call me Sally, others call me Seisha. If you don't like it, I'm gonna have to beat ya. Nah, I'm just kidding, y'all. Y'all, YNLL. I bet you all thought that Salicia couldn't spell, but now you know, and I got to go. Hey, it's time for the Salicia Show.
Welcome to the Salicia Show. So today I have with me Rachel Josefina, who I went to college with back in the day at Cal State Fullerton, and her colleague, Suzanne Purcell, who they work together, and you guys are going to tell me all about your thing. Hi, how are we today?
Good, good. Thank you so much for having us on. I just want to talk a little bit about what I do, and then Suzanne can introduce herself and what she does.
Yes. And
so I'm a mindset and manifestation mentor for performing artists to really find worthiness within themselves rather than within the industry. And to know that you're allowed to put up boundaries, you're allowed to not hustle, and that self-development is huge in being a performing artist. And so I met Suzanne and I was on her podcast.
You met her in the morning? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she was on my podcast, and Yeah, so I met Suzanne through the podcast. This sounds great.
It sounds great. Yeah,
so my podcast is Mindset in the Making, and Suzanne also has a podcast. But so I was on her podcast, and it was just such divine timing that we met each other, and we have been business partners ever since. Really putting together, we've been going live and doing clubhouse rooms. And then we also created this new event where performing artists can come together and create community. But before we talk about that, Suzanne, if you want to say a little bit about who you are.
Oh, sure. Thanks for the intro. Thanks for having us. Yeah, I'm so excited. So my name is Suzanne Purcell. I'm a founder of Poetrize, which is a 900 plus number community for particularly dancers.
Say the name of it again, Suzanne.
It's Point to Rise, as on pointing. We get point shoes. I am a mother. I am the founder of Rise Media, a media company supporting performing artists and having the ability to gather more ways of earning income and not be only stage dependent, and a huge platform that they can really tap into the power of media that we're, you know, discovering now in 2021. And Yeah, I have a podcast.
What's your podcast?
It's also called Pointing to Rise.
I love it.
And yeah, we are, Rachel. I don't know. We met not too long ago, and it was just clear to us that we had to do something.
We always wanted to do in person, and we are starting with having small groups, of holding workshops, of having conversations to see what's really going on, and how we can, you know, really support the community. So I have a couple questions. I have a couple different questions. So one is, I love the idea that artists having multiple things that they have their toes into, their point twos into.
Yes.
And I never thought about that until this pandemic, when I'm like, okay, I literally cannot go to work. I can't audition for work. If I want to, I was going to say audition for McDonald's, interview for McDonald's, I guess I could, but it's not in my line of work. So I appreciate the idea of, okay, what else can I do? But not in terms of if I fail doing this, but in addition to what I love to do. When did you get inspiration for that and start putting energy into that? Was it during this pandemic or was it before?
Oh, no, during the pandemic. You know what I saw was, particularly like in the dance world, they were all just sent home. They were tapping into their savings. They're working at Home Depot or McDonald's. And nobody with this scarcity mindset just was blown up by 1,000 times because nobody knew how to earn money. And we had a few that started building community on Instagram or YouTube, and they were earning that way. But you had to have a certain status, right? You have to have a certain follower amount. You have to have a certain view amount. You have to be in a certain country in order to do that. So I asked a different question. I'm like, okay, how can we? I am really convinced that all the scarcity and the pain and the, here I say it, abuse that we're seeing in the performing arts were from a lack of funding or lack of enoughness or worthiness. And how can we fix that? Like, how can we stop creating and stop chasing? And we start with everybody in the community, giving ourselves the power to use our tools to really create for others so that we have an equal exchange of energy and not always feel like we're second, third, fourth, fifth.
Okay, so let's talk about this scarcity mindset, because I'm like looking at you on the Zoom and I'm looking at you on Instagram. I'm like, which one should I look at? Oh, it looks so much more photoshopped on the Zoom. Last night, Fanny, I'm like, woo! Don't look at me in this close-up camera. But let's talk about scarcity mindset versus an abundance mindset, because I feel like this is huge. And just naming it already does so much. And Rachel, you can chime in too. What do we think about? I feel like it's really easy to have a scarcity mindset. And what is that? Does everyone know what that means or no? Like, you guys probably do. This is like literally what you're working on. Scarcity mindset is there's not enough to go around. If they get it, then I'm not going to get it. If they get that job, that means there's none. There's less for me. If we uplift this group of people, that's less room for us. I need to eat. This is a stupid example, but I need to eat this meal as fast as I can before they eat my meal kind of thing. There's just not enough. I've got this much money and will this get me where I need to go versus an abundance mindset? And you guys can chime in and tell me if you guys think differently about any of this. Abundance mindset, I've got more than enough. I have more than I need. There's enough to go around for everyone. I have joy. That doesn't mean you can have less joy. It means I have joy. You can have joy. You can have joy. Everybody, there's enough for everybody. There's so much money in this world. It doesn't have to just be, even though it's what it seems like, just for a certain group of people. And then everybody else, what about everybody else? There's so much money in this world. And if you want some, there is some. But the question is, like, how do you get into an abundance mindset? So what I'm wondering is, not wondering, but investigating right now, when I have an abundance mindset, it's almost like more comes to me.
1,000%. I wouldn't even say it's, I would say it is. When you have an abundance mindset and you fully in your being believe that there is more than enough for everyone to go around. And even more than that is no one can take anything away from you, because your own journey, your own path, what's meant for you will always come to you. And it was never meant for anyone else. So it's impossible for anyone else to take it away from you. Like, it is only for you to claim. It is only for you to step into. So it's not that if I have an abundance mindset, maybe more will come to me. It is the more of an abundant mindset I have, the more I am opening myself up to receive, because I know I'm worthy of receiving that abundance that's already there for me. Like, the universe and God or whatever you say already has it ready for you. It's just waiting for you to align yourself with it so that it has a way to give it to you.
Mm. So hold on. There's a question for me. So I have a question for you, Rachel, because we both went through like a musical theater program. So do you think that recording video auditions or even going in for an audition, what do you think about doing something a million times to get it perfect, to get it right? Is it worth it? Does it make a difference if I'm like, I did this take versus this take? Like, I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, is my take really that second take or the 10th take? Because at the end of the day, it's still you. They either like you or it's somebody else's. If you triple red line, it's still, I don't know. I was just thinking about this for the first, what do you think about this?
Oh, yeah, I talk about this all the time. So the perfectionism of being one, being able to do your own self-tape to save time and energy, to not have to leave your apartment potentially, where you don't have to wait in line, you don't have to do all these things. Like, are you actually saving any time and energy if you're doing it 100 times because you're like, oh, now I get to do it perfectly. Now I get to not just do it one time. Like, you're not saving any time and energy. So what's the point in even doing it? That's the whole point, is to be able to do it on your own time. Also, you never can do it perfectly. Like, that is impossible. So trying to do it perfectly, you're already setting yourself up to feel disappointed because it's never going to be perfect. Also, I have seen this so many times, and I've had a job where I completely, can we swear on this part? I have fucked up so many lyrics in an audition before, and I got the job. Like, I have been so imperfect and still gotten the job. I just witnessed Shelly Denton winning the competition for the Give My Best Regards, where she was a bit imperfect. And you could tell afterwards she was like a little bit, and she won. And she won. Like, you do not have to be perfect. Exactly.
It's not about, yeah.
Yeah.
What's it? It's not about being the perfect fit for whatever everybody else wants you to be. It's having the courage to really dig deep and let who you are out. That's what makes you special. And that's what, you know, will set you apart and will get you your roles. And that's when you start creating and stop chasing.
So wait a minute. So what do we think? Okay, I'm really just regurgitating what was just said. So what do we think about, literally, I'm just about to repeat what you said. What do we think about, I'm just thinking about self-tapes. When you have it in your control on your time, it's not about doing it perfectly. It's about the essence that you bring to it. So if on the 25th take, you're frustrated, but you got it perfect, is it really better than the first take?
That's it. Oh my gosh, that is it. Like, you, when you are tired and you are angry and you are not in a good space mentally, your soul and your ability to show up is not there. So like, you are actually doing yourself a disservice by doing it so many times.
A disservice. Why do we do it so many times? I'm sorry, I've switched a lot of hours on trying to get self-tapes perfect. And I just am like, how has no one told me this?
It can only think
frustrating.
And it's because we think and we're told perfection is possible. Somewhere in our brains, we're like, perfection is possible. So that means I have to achieve it, because if I'm perfect, then I will be finally worthy to get the job. What if you didn't actually have to be perfect to get the job? What if that wasn't the stipulation?
I read in a book, you brought up worthiness, Rachel. I read in the book that I'm reading right now. What am I reading right now? I forgot what it's called, but it will come to me. I read this yesterday or 2 days. No, I did not read yesterday. 2 days ago. And they said, as humans, we're always trying to prove our worth, our worthiness. Okay, stay with me because I'm trying to really remember this because this is very important to me. We're always trying to prove our worth and our worthiness and that we're justified. When really being in this body proves that we are worthy. We wouldn't be here if we weren't. So truth, just existing, just being alive is proof enough that we are justified. And so going out of our way to prove our worth is, we don't have to do that. When you get a position, a role, a job, whatever it is, that you might think other people are like, why did they get that? Do they deserve that? Don't. That's just noise in your own head. If you hear other people, that's just noise. You don't have to prove yourself. And I'm telling myself this because I'm like, I just started this Alicia show. And I'm like, who am I to start this Alicia show? Who am I? But you know what? There are people on TV who I've never heard of them and they've got their own show. I'm like, they did it. Oprah. But like, we don't have to. Just being alive and having the desire to do it and the courage to pursue it, that is enough. That's enough. What do you think about this?
I would like 1000% agree. What came up for me when you were talking is the conditioning that we're receiving from like this tiny little bit, even if you're already in the womb, where we're taking all of this in and our subconscious is formed, we're being conditioned to not being enough by just existing. We're chasing love by achievement and we're trying to prove ourselves wherever, in our parents' house or in school or the teacher, the director, the cameraman, whatever. And never ever do we actually really truly feel that everything that we need is truly within us. And when we make that switch, when we can see that the perspective that we're have been received is really just something that we've taken in, then we can change it at any given point. We just have to make that choice.
At any given point, we have to make that choice. So last night I did my cabaret for my launch party, the podcast, The Alicia Show. And there was a couple of times within the show where I was like, this Alicia Show, crazy. Like I was rolling my eyes at myself and the audience wasn't laughing. They weren't rolling their eyes with me. 5 years ago, people would be like, oh, Alicia, shut up. And now no one was rolling their eyes. No one was laughing. I'm like, there's a shift that happened. What was that shift? And I do believe it. And it's almost like I was expecting for others to not. But because I do, even though I was like trying to make light of it in that moment, it was like, no, this is a thing. This exists. And you just have to decide in yourself to take it serious enough to actually share it, whatever that is. So I'm loving this idea of we're already worthy. You're already justified. The essence that we bring is way more important than perfectionism. Forgetting words, Rachel, and still getting the job. How true is that? That is so true. The jobs where I'm like, I don't know if these sides are going the roof. That's the whole thing up. You get the job. Prepared. Auditioned for Harry Potter a few years ago. And I watched every Harry Potter movie to get ready for this. I took dialect class. I read through the script. I did all of this internal work. And I didn't. So my accent was really bad. But I felt. But what it is for you and what's not for you, it's not for you. It doesn't matter how many hours you put into it. So that is great. So the program that you guys invited me to a few weeks ago, somebody's about to walk into my apartment. So I'm going to keep it
I just have to not get distracted so easily distracted. So the program that you guys invited me to a couple weeks ago, what was that event?
We called it in the beginning a networking event for performing artists because we saw the need of continuing that outreach that we've seen during the pandemic. Oh, my effort is like that we needed to come together as community and really tap into what we need and where we're going and support each other, because that was a really, really hard time. So we started out with just asking questions and getting together, and we're now really holding workshops for performing artists where we're talking about the things that we usually don't talk about because we're so afraid of taking down our shield and armors, and really talk about the topics that can bring us forward and create a better community within the performing arts.
I love it. So long was the, and how long was the evening?
So yeah, it was in like the early afternoon, and it was 3 hours long. It was incredible to just be with artists and create this. It was like networking, but like in this very intimate, meditative is what kind of what came up for me that went. And we started out with a guided meditation to really get everyone on the same page. And our biggest thing is that change comes from self first. Like that is our big theme with all of these workshops, right? It's like we want to see change in the industry. We need to see change in the industry. That's really moving forward with worthiness and abundance. We've talked about that so much. But asking others to change first before you change and make that decision for yourself to find the worthiness and to see the abundance, it doesn't end up creating the change that you're asking for. So it's how can we come together, tap into the power of community, and start that change within ourselves. So we talked about success and really like redefining for artists, what does success actually mean to you? Not to the industry, not to your brother, not to your or whatever, but what does success mean for you? So it's been incredible to just see artists sit and like Suzanne said, ask questions that are hard, that are scary. Like at the end of the workshop, when we had defined success, we asked everyone to see where in your life do you already have success? And it was like, walls went out. It was like, oh, nowhere.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was not.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
It was just so interesting to see because we're all collecting anything good that comes at us because we don't be worthy, or we've been told that when somebody tells you that you did something great, how are you going to top that? How are you going to make that even more perfect? So literally as human beings, we don't even want to take it in because we don't want to have that battle in our inside. So when we asked that question, we could literally feel the energy in the room go down and the walls went up. Because nobody wanted to really look at what they were great at or what they have achieved or how far or what kind of little things are they actually on a daily basis doing that is successful. The big thing for us is if we can't actually look back at our past successes, we're denying us our future successes.
Right.
And that's why it's so important. Okay, go ahead.
Do you think that response or stay with me here? Do you think that response of they're all nothing that each person felt like they truly had no success? Or do you think that was this group mostly women or was it mixed with men?
It was mixed. There was one man there.
Okay. Just leave that in the back of our minds. Because I feel like a lot of times as women, there might be something that we do know to be true, but somebody gives us a compliment. What's one of the first, a gut reaction for a compliment for me, unless if I'm getting that same compliment all day is, girl, or, oh, you look great too. It's really hard for me to just say, thank you. Or, thank you, I love, like, it's so hard to just absorb the compliment. It's so much easier to say, no, I've not done, I don't look good or whatever it is, even though I do feel good.
do you think that it was, which do you think that it was really people can't see the good that they are doing because we're in a dark time of our society right now, or the other one?
I think it's both. I think it's honestly, I think it's both. I think that with the dark time, it's so hard for anyone to feel like within their career that they have success at the moment. But that was also something that we talked about, is like success isn't just in your career, like success is in your life. And what does that look like? But I think it's also that it's so much easier to just say, oh, I don't have any success. But when that happened and we felt the energy shift, Suzanne really went in and shared a story from herself, and it really softened the wall that people put up. And then we did get to see them dive into, where do I actually have success? Like, we did get to that point of, okay, we know the energy has changed. We know that it's hard to see our own success, but these are the hard questions that we really need to look into, because this is where you create the change of claiming your success so that you can then move forward, like Suzanne said, and have your future successes. Because if you can't even see that there's success, you could have success in the future, but you're never going to know that it's actually success. Like, you don't get to celebrate yourself.
Add to that, I'm agreeing with everything that you're saying.
Yeah.
When you switch your mental outlook and stop looking at your failures and dwelling on the and what's going wrong, and you start dwelling on what's going right, even like a little, that subtle shift. And when you start seeing one thing going right, you're going to notice another one. This goes both ways. And then another one, and then another one. We hear that saying, when it rains, it pours. We were talking about abundance earlier. The people who have the abundance mindset, it seems like they get everything. It's that same thing of one good thing is happening, and then it's like you build momentum. And this momentum can work in both directions. You can go down a spiral of dark and begin to lose everything. When you focus on scarcity, what you don't have, how things might go wrong, catastrophic thinking leads to this and this. And then it starts to manifest into your life. Whereas in the other way, when you start to look, what have I succeeded at? Little things. I got up today before, I don't know. I get up before noon, I promise. But like little things, and I don't know, just whatever those things are for you. And you, if you make it a habit to look at all of the positives, I feel like that starts to manifest in our lives as well.
Absolutely. It's the same with, we all know what we don't want, and we're really adamant about, oh, I don't want that, and I don't want that, and I don't want that. And we never really ask the question, what do I really want?
That's so weird.
Right? So it's the same thing. So we're aspiring now. It's a choice away. And for the longest time, I didn't think I had a choice. I thought other people are making that choice for me, or that path was so ingrained that it's the only path of my life, that I never looked just slightly to the right to look, oh, wait, but if I just shift just a wee bit, everything is changing. So looking at what you're doing great on a daily basis is so imperative, and also knowing what you want versus all the things that you don't want.
It's great to know what you don't want. I think there is value in that, but use it as literally the book that I'm reading. I wish I could remember first somewhere. Using what you don't want as a launch pad, I think, is a good starting place. But then to focus your attention on what you do want, because the universe only hears what it is you're talking about. It doesn't hear, I don't want that. If you really want something and really don't want something, it's going to come to you, whatever that is. So just focus on the positive instead of being like, man, I hope I don't get into a car crash today. God, I don't even say it. You would say, I pray that we get there safely.
Mm-hmm.
Just switching the way we say things. Like, I feel like that's a really deal. Things that we speak, our words have so much power. Just like, and I said this last night, like, it, that life, sometimes it feels like a game. If once we figure out the formula to the game, it's your oyster. And you can even know what it is intellectually, but then once you start to live it, that's a different thing. And I'm still in that process of figuring it out. It's like, what do you want? Speaking what you want. And then after having that desire and that direction, that focus your energy on that, and then back it up with actions. Don't start with the actions. And then, because if you start with the action, you have to work very hard, longer hours, harder hours, doing more work, getting less. And there's a book called Think and Grow Rich that talks about this. I don't know if it says it in these words, but no, like you think first, you think. This is like part of the game of life. What do you want? You don't have to know the answers of how to get there. Just know what it is that you want first. You guys can like chime in or stop me or be like, wait, no, that's how I think. Know what you want. Have that desire. And then one baby step, a baby step into the direction of what that thing is that you want.
Mm-hmm. I think also when you feel into what you want and when you map it out, the action actually reveal themselves to you. Like you will know in your gut what you need to do next. And then it doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, it's so hard. It's actually fun. And we forget that everything that we're here for is supposed to be fun and joy. It's not supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be hurting. It's joyful.
And but living here as a human on planet Earth, I say that as a human. But it's so easy for things to be hard. These bones are so hard. It feels like the gravity. It's so easy if you don't train your brain to focus on the positive thing. Default will take over. I feel like the default.
Yeah. 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 And we make things mean something bad about us always. Like things are so hard. So that must mean that it means something bad about me. It's never what's actually happening. It's what we believe about it, what we make it mean. So like here I am on the earth and it's raining outside. Like I could easily make that mean that then I can't do whatever I want to do. And I'm going to have a gloomy day because on gloomy days, on rainy days, I'm gloomy and oh, I'm not going to get anything done and blah, 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 right? Over and over again. Or like, it's raining. That is it, right? It doesn't have to mean anything. Exactly. We can just have acceptance
on things and then we give things meaning. We give things a new story, whether it's for better or for worse. But
right.
That's a good example. Because it's raining, it does not have to be a bad day. And I think it was restless traps. Sometimes I'm like, it's raining. Today I'm sure. During the pandemic, when it was raining, it was a good thing because that meant that the New York sidewalks were built. And I'll go for a walk and actually have 6 feet distance. Whereas on race day, literally those first 3 months in 2020 in March to March, that I couldn't do that in sidewalks. People were coughing all around the world. I see people dying with dying earth. It's scary. I walk for anxiety. Whereas on a rainy day, everyone's inside. All of a sudden, rainy day, so I'm going for a walk in the rain and have all the space I want. Like, we put our, what's it called, you guys? Perspective, our own lens of things on things. And it makes it good or bad, but it doesn't have to be good or bad. It doesn't have to be bad. We can't choose. Well,
yeah, the choice, like having a choice. That was the thing. Suzanne said that earlier. Like we actually get to choose what we believe. We actually get to choose how our day is going to go. Like you get to choose that you're going to have a good day. You get to choose to focus on the positive. And whatever you believe inside of you is what the universe is going to show you evidence of. So if you've woken up and you've already decided that you're going to have a bad day, you're then going to find evidence throughout your day that, oh, yes, I'm having a bad day because we want to be right. Like right. Where it's. So right, if you say. Yeah.
What happens when something really bad actually happens? Because it's I feel, and this is me playing devil's advocate, but it's a real thing. It's easy to sit here when we're having a fine day, nothing good or bad or monumental has happened. But what happens when something out of your control does happen? Somebody dies. You have a good day.
Here's the thing is, does it have to be like, okay, here I am, I'm good and cheery, right? Like I'm joyous because this person died. No. But what if you don't actually know because you are not the universe, you are not God, you are not this. What if it was, even though this terrible thing happened, somehow in some way that I am not aware of because I am just a human, it is going to be for a better purpose to move the collective forward in a good way. COVID, this terrible thing happened, many people died. I do not know how this is going to turn out, but what if a power greater than us, it's going, this event, these experiences are moving the collective in a greater sense.
I mean,
little by little.
Bad though, like this has been, gosh, we're not even into how bad this has been, but like the people who I have talked to, and it, even in my own life, if you're still breathing, you've probably changed a lot during this time. I feel like a lot of growing has happened in a very short time. Things that would have taken me 10 years happened 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But it also feels bad for, at least in my body, I feel guilty looking at the positives of the pandemic because I know people who've experienced loss. Dude, I experienced loss. There's been horrible things that have happened. So what about those things and we're going to wrap up soon, but this is just my last thought, like feeling bad for things that are going well. It doesn't have to be about, but how do you embrace that?
I think that we don't have to absolute the thing, meaning that something great is always coming out of something that is failing. That's the law. It happens like that because our reaction to whatever has happened determines the outcome. So we have the choice to either lie under the table and curl up in a bowl and never ever get up again, or we look at it, feel our way through it, be sad, and also say that, you know what? It doesn't all have to be bad or all have to be great in order to be happy or joyful. We have the option, we have the choice to say and versus but. And I think that's where the magic lies. We're all great and bad, if you want to say it that way. There's always something bad happening over here and somebody else is having success, but it doesn't make one less or, I don't know how to say it, better or worse. They are polar opposites to everything. Pandemic, we're losing somebody. Yes, it sucks totally. And there is something else coming out of it.
Mm-hmm. And thinking about like it and all of that and like feeling sad and grieving whatever is happening and grieving the fact that what you had planned didn't work out, no matter how big or how small, that is very important, right? To feel through those things. But then when you get to a point of, okay, I felt through it, you being sad and feeling guilty, how is that helping the world?
And how is it helping you either? Not only the world, but yourself. Like, what is that going to do for you? Isn't that keeping you small? Aren't you serving somebody else at that point was staying small and sad versus, hey, I'm through this. Now I'm going to shine my light again. And when we're really looking like in a bigger perspective, how many students, how many kids, how many artists are trying to stay small so that they don't get in trouble or step outside the box? Or you said, who am I to have a show by myself? Who are you not to? And that it is that perspective shift that there's always an end and never really a but. We're not just one thing, we're everything.
I love that. Guys, thank you for joining me
my God, favorite. We're having a...
Are you going to do it again?
Yes. Yeah, Aaron, we're doing it on... So it's for the performing artist who is truly ready to take personal responsibility for change. If you are ready to open up your mind to the abundance mindset, if you are ready to open up your hearts to there can be change and it is going to start with me, it's for you.
It's for you.
It doesn't matter what kind of artist you are. Truly, it is just, are you ready to be part of the solution? Are you ready to ask those hard questions? Are you ready to tap into a community who is also doing that same thing? Are you ready to grow your community and grow your network with people who are really starting with the self to make change?
And where can they, where can people, if anyone's listening, if they wanted to join, can they find?
On my Instagram, rachel.josefina, on Suzanne's Instagram, on Rise Media Instagram, on Point to Rise Instagram. We're going to be talking about promoting the event and where it's going to be. It's going to be at SAS Class Studios like it was last time. And it's, correct me if I'm wrong, October 17th.
You got it.
And at 11 a.m.
It's a good time, girl.
He is tape.
When you get out.
York City?
Yep.
And New York City.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. You guys, thank you so much. Thank you for joining.
Thank you for having us. Nothing.
Yes, thank my, you.
And I'm going to try to go to the next one.
Yay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold on. Don't hang up.
Full.
I don't know. Am I still live?
No. Yeah. Not on it. I've been keeping those things up for so long.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I keep them up. I'm like, somebody will text me and be like, Salisha. Still a lot. I'm like, hold on.
Are you going to save it and post it or?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That was just such an incredible conversation.
I think that was really fun.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having us on, Salisha.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. I'm so glad we could talk. I'm like, ooh, I cannot wait to actually do this. October 19th, that's going to be, it might actually work. I start rehearsals on the 18th
for
Britney Spears musical.
Yay. So you're not doing Trevor.
No, I'm not doing Trevor, but I still love Trevor.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's so fun.
They open in October. So I'm going to say.
And is Britney going on Broadway or is it off Broadway?
I don't know. We're coming out of town before the
pandemic. Oh, amazing.
I'd signed my out-of-town contract and my Broadway contract.
Yeah.
So that was the situation then. This time around, I've only signed the out-of-town. So one step at a time. I have no idea.
Amazing. Tell Ashley Chu I say hi.
I will.
We went to high school together.
Oh, man. What a small world. Oh, there's one more thing I wanted to ask, Suzanne. How did you grow? Did you grow your 500 people community during this pandemic? How did you do that?
I have people that keep inviting people. And so it's a Facebook group. And I'm showing up every day.
Right. You showed up every day. Why? You showed up every day. You were pouring in energy. You were pouring more energy into it. How long did you go live for?
5-10 minutes, that's all. Just something, it's always something that came up, or it's something that when I was meditating or in the morning how I felt, just things that came up and I talked about it. And like the performing artists, particularly dancers, I want to pick on them a little bit. They're very stuck in their old way. And anything that's like outside of their box, their thinking box, it's really challenging to get into. So we have to do triple the work in order to actually just repeat one open.
Whew! It's so interesting. I love that. Because it's not easy to grow a community like that, but hearing how much you put into it, it seems like this was at the forefront of your brain. And also during a time when people really
needed a sense of community. That's amazing. 500 people, that's a lot.
900.
Oh, what?
And Salisha, can I offer, what if it, like, going live every day potentially could sound scary, but if you're just going live to speak out your thoughts, you're a very vocal person, right?
Yeah.
Who likes to talk. Whatever, maybe that's not the way that you're going to do it, but what if you didn't have the belief that it had to be hard? Like, what if it did get to be easy and you got to find a way that it could be easy?
Just even exploring, what could that feel like and look like?
Yeah. It doesn't actually have to be hard if you don't want it to be. You get to do it however you want to do it, and it could be easy. What would it be like if that was possible? You don't even have to believe that it's possible. Just if it was possible, what would that be like? If it was possible, what would that be like?
That wraps another episode. Thanks for listening to The Salisha Show. See you next week, and don't be shy. If you love the show, please tell me why. Please rate, subscribe, and leave a review. Go one step further, tell a friend or two. Check out my site if you think it was the bomb. Pay a visit to SalishaThomas.com. One last thing before I relax. Shout out Josh Carey, and thanks, PodMax.
I'm out.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.